Curse In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Tell me what's going on.
I never thought I'd be calling you.
I hope you're going to agree with me.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
I'm not into predictions, but you want me to make a prediction?
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, I really didn't want to call you about this.
All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yay.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
You seem like an honest guy.
A lot of people suffer when they have to listen to me. So at least you're getting your daily dose of suffering right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
One day, God was looking down at Earth, and he saw a lot of bad things going on. He decided to send an angel down to Earth to check it out. So he called one of his best angels and sent the angel to Earth. When the angel returned, the angel told God, it's bad. Yeah, it's bad. 95% of the people are doing bad stuff. 5% are doing overwhelming good stuff. God thought for a minute and said, well, I'm getting a second opinion. I'll send down a second angel, get another point of view. So God called another angel, sent the angel to Earth. Angel returned, and yes, he confirmed it. The angel said, yep, Earth's in decline. 95% doing bad stuff, and 5% were predominantly doing good stuff. God said, this is not good. So he decided to email the 5% that were doing good. Give them some encouragement. Give them a little something to help them keep going. Do you know what the email said? Well, you didn't get one either, huh? Okay, I'm going to have to ask somebody I know. This is Dr. Ray. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In with my accompanying personal accoutrements. Andrew Kruchek, producer, man, board operator, and Eric Dumont, call screamer. They all have little children, so they're listening more closely now to some of the calls we get. My number here to get onto the program, and I would love to hear from you. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. Why would you call? That's your business. Most of the time, people call because they have a question about something in their lives. Something that they just, you know, a little bit just more input. Now, you know, we can't just solve all problems here. Obviously, that's not possible. I'm not doing therapy. I'm not doing diagnosis. But a question about something in their life. Sometimes they call with a more generic question. Something that they don't understand in the realm of psychology or how psychology interfaces with religion. Or sometimes they help other people. See, this is what I did in my situation, and maybe this will help them. That's great stuff. Very much appreciate it, especially since I pirate it, take it, write it down, put it in books, and make money. If I haven't said thank you, I'm saying thank you now. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get on to the program. I spent 8 years in the evangelical world. I had drifted out of the Catholic Church in my 30s, went into the evangelical world. And when I'd go out with my evangelical friends, not uncommonly, we would bow our heads, say blessing out loud. This, I got to admit, this was my first experience with saying blessings in a restaurant. I grew up Catholic. We just kind of didn't do it. You kept a lower profile. You didn't say blessings out in restaurants. Or if you did, you quietly bowed your head, made a small sign of the cross on your chest so almost nobody could see it. And then you said, bless us, O Lord. And you said it to yourself. So it was really a kind of a foreign experience initially. But as I went out with more of my evangelical friends, got used to it. Because when you looked around in a restaurant, if you saw anybody saying blessing before meals, it was, you know, this was a long time ago. It's 20, 30 years ago. This was the evangelicals. Think about it. You look back 20, 30 years ago, how many people in a restaurant did you see making the obvious Catholic identification of the sign of the cross and then saying blessing? Come on. Pretty near zero, wasn't it? So when I returned to the Catholic Church, I thought, I can't stop saying blessing in a restaurant. Now I'm Catholic. Now I could still say it like an evangelical, leave out the sign of the cross, the beginning and at the end of the prayer. Pretty much just quietly bow my head, say a very soft prayer that only people could hear that were nearby. Now, see, in those days, we were allowed to sit close to each other. That was social distancing. Hey, I could whisper it and nobody could hear me at all because they're over 6 feet away. Then I realized, wait a minute, I would make the sign of the cross at home before saying blessings. I got to do it out in public. And, okay, let me throw in a wrench or a Phillips screwdriver or a belt sander. I do an awful lot, or at least I did. Those have all been canceled as of late, but a tremendous amount of banquets where you're the after-dinner speaker. And many of them, as a matter of fact, back in the earlier days, most of them were secular. And typically I'd be at the head table because that's where you speak from. So you're at the head table. Most of the other folks are sitting out there in their little circular tables. And you're at the head table, somewhere along the line here anyway. And I thought to myself, how am I going to say blessings so I don't become obvious? And then I really thought to myself, what is wrong with me? Why am I concerned about what these people think? First of all, I'm never going to see them again. Second of all, if they do some cliche reasoning and think, oh, no, I didn't know we hired some religious, narrow-minded bigot. I mean, obviously, that's faulty reasoning on their part, and it's very prejudicial, but I'm sure some of them thought it, no question. Anybody who makes a sign of the cross and quietly bows his head to say blessings before some big secular banquet, and he's going to be their speaker. Oh, for heaven's sakes, do we have to listen to what he says now? All this religiously toned stuff, even though I didn't do that. But it raised a much deeper question for me. Why? Why was I reluctant? Why did I care? What is this? That I'm basically going to tell God, hey, look, I'm with you. You know, you and I, Lord, you and I. But and some of these people might, I don't know, they might come to some faulty conclusions about me, and I really don't want that. I don't know who they are. They're meaningless to me in my social life anyway. I hope you don't mind, Lord, do you? Do you mind if I just kind of act like I know you're always going to be there. You're hanging in there. But, Dad, do you really expect me to do this? And it was a concatenation, a stringing together of a lot of ugly thoughts about myself. What do I care? What is this? Nobody's threatening me. They're not going to punch me in the head if I say blessing. The worst they're going to do is come to some faulty, narrow-minded conclusion based on their own prejudices and biases. That's it. That is it. And you know what that revealed to me? Nothing about them. A lot about me. What a stinking coward. Oh, yeah, you know, I want to be a martyr. Martyr for the faith. Go straight to heaven. Stand up for Jesus Christ. And I'm sitting there nervous about making a sign of the cross. Well, what if they don't hire me back, you know? So? I got kids to feed. This is not going to be the end of my career, by the way. Learned a lot about myself. Didn't like it. Didn't like it at all. I don't know. Take a lesson from me. You're out in a restaurant with the kids. And I know a lot of you, a disproportionate number of you in this audience, do say blessings out in a restaurant. And you say them out loud. And you say them with a sign of the cross. I know that. I've seen you. But if you don't, why don't you ask yourself a few things? What's stopping you? Would you do it at home? Well, if you do it at home, why don't you do it before you eat somewhere else? What about family gatherings, huh? The families that they really think you're too Catholic, huh? That could even be more threatening. Stop and quietly say blessings to yourself. You don't have to shout it from the rooftops. You make your sign of the cross, and you quietly think the blessing, and then you make your sign of the cross. They know what you're doing. You can just tell them, I'm just praying for your wretched souls. Yeah. Take a lesson from me. You don't want to be like me. 877-573-7825. And by the way, if in fact this has been a stumbling block for you, and you want to share your own insight about your reluctancy or your reaction when you saw somebody else doing it and you thought to yourself, we don't do that, let me know. Could give me good material for a book, you know. I'm Dr. Ray.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
In the midst of our culture today, in this age of relativism, which wants to grant Jesus some significance, but not so much, so we'll give him wise man, great leader, inspiring preacher, great teacher, prophet. You don't get that option when you claim to be God. What reasons do we have to believe that he is who he said he is? And it's important, again, to employ the use of our reason and to understand that faith is not blind. My faith, and please God, the faith of everyone here, is not blind. It rests on something. It rests on a number of things, not least of which is my own experience of God, but it also has something substantial which can be claimed through history. We're not talking about a galaxy long, long ago, far, far away when we talk about Jesus. We're talking about a precise moment in history which has been testified to by countless testimonies, and you and I have access to them.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Yeah, I'm kind of quoting a wise philosopher named Dr. Ray Guarendi, or Corandi, or whatever.
I love statistics, because you can lie with them so easily. But every once in a while, some of them are fascinating. I read this statistic, a new survey. Apparently, 3 out of 4 people make up 75% of the population. I saw that, and I want to dive into that statistic and see a little further where it goes. Part of my training was in statistics. The PhD was in clinical and research. So I had to take a lot of what we affectionately called sadistics class. Mary Kay from Virginia has a personal, interesting personal story about banquet speakers. Hi, Mary Kay.
Oh, hi. No, I just had to tell you a little story about secular banquets in the Catholic Grace. I went to one in 1974, and it was in Chicago, a banquet for an organization called Legal Elections All Precincts. And the blessing was supposed to be given by Reverend Jesse Jackson. And he was late. So the head of the organization, Lee, got up and said, "Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts," which I was tickled, needless to say.
I wonder how many folks recognize that that is the standard classic pre-meal blessing.
Well, what I wondered is if anybody told Reverend Jackson.
Well, you knew it. When you heard it, you said, "Yeah, I know that one."
Yeah, well, and the thing I do, I go to public banquets, and when they do have a blessing, somebody gets up to give a blessing, I make the sign of the cross after it, and fine.
Good for you.
Go there.
I had a lady say to me one time, I forget where I was, and she said something like, "Oh, well, whatever you do, make a triangle on your chest or whatever it is you do." And I just looked at her and I said, as gently as I could say it, you know, because I'm a soft-spoken person, "Do you always make fun of something you don't understand?"
Oh.
And she just looked at me.
Whoa.
I'll say, and then I said, "I'll pray for your wretched soul with my triangle." No, I didn't say that. Oh, thanks, Mary Kay. Appreciate it, honey. Thank you. Cindy is calling. She wants me to comment, or maybe she wants to comment on the importance of taking care of oneself. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Dr. A. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What kind of taking care?
Yeah. Just minding the business of oneself. If you come across something and somebody might say, "Why didn't you say something?" Especially if there could be potentially grave outcomes.
And you could say, "I thought that was wouldn't be wise." You could say that. Would they leave it go at that? Did they say, "Oh, okay"?
Not sure.
Or would they say, "Well, you should have said something. I don't see why you didn't."
Yeah.
Well, isn't it interesting? It's the example of, you're not acting like I think you should act. And I'm going to tell you how you're not acting like I think you should act. And if you give me a reason for why you didn't, I'm not going to accept it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've learned, Cindy, as I've gotten older, I have to judge my actions as, are they morally obligatory? In other words, is this something I should speak up about in that context? Is this something that would really do good for somebody if I speak up in that context? But if it is something that is just a difference of opinion, which I say probably the majority of things are, well, you know, why'd you buy a new car? You know, that doesn't make any sense. You bought a new car. You realize the depreciation you're going to get as soon as you drive it off that lot? Why didn't you look at something that was 3 or 4 years old? Let somebody else take the depreciation. Why are you taking... I don't ever say anything like that, even though I think it's true. Unless somebody asks me or somebody's waffling, "Do you think I should buy a new car or a used car?" Well, here's what I think. But short of that, or, you know, "You ought to get to the gym a little more often. Cindy, you ought to get to the gym. You know, the gym's healthy for you. Why wouldn't you go to the gym, Cindy?" Well, yeah, that'd be good for you, but who am I to tell you to do that? Heck, I have enough trouble knowing when to speak up on major things other than speaking up all over the place to give my perspective on how you should run your life. Mm-hmm. It's what I've learned. Maybe, Cindy, it's because I sit in an office and people come into that office and want my opinion on how they should run their lives. And I'm paid to give it. And they think I'm overpaid to give it. But short of that, when I'm out of there, I do a lot more shrugging. It's like, yeah, that's what she thinks. Oh, well, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope okay. That was the direction of the question. When I originally saw the question, I thought, well, are you talking physically taking care of yourself? By the way, just as I thought, you didn't ask this. But Scripture is very important. You know, don't you know your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit? And you got to take care of it. Where is the, and it's not a line, I guess, it's a fuzzy boundary between abusing your body, not taking care of it, and perhaps being disrespectful toward God regarding what he's done for you. I'll give you an example. Is smoking wrong? It can hurt you. You know, is it wrong? Now, most theologians would say no. But what if you're smoking 3 packs a day and you're clearly risking your health? Or weight. If you're 145 pounds overweight, and many in our culture are, sadly, where does it get to the point where you're more or less accountable for what you are doing to the body that God gave you? And again, I can't know that. I'm not a moral theologian, and only God knows that. But it's always been a fascinating question for me. You know, where do you cross that line? You know, if you're going 70 miles an hour when the speed limit's 65 on the interstate, okay, you're okay. You're not going to be judged. What about 80? 85? 90? Where do you get into that never land of saying, okie dokie, I'm engaging in some risky behavior that could be sinful? Well, church talks about that. They do. If you go to the catechism, you're held accountable for that kind of risk. You know, you've had 3 drinks. And you may not blow illegal because you've been sitting in that bar for 2 hours and 2 of those drinks are metabolized. But you're a little fuzzy. Okay. Now, are you putting somebody else's life at risk or your own? I don't know. These are all just questions I believe that thinking Christians should pay more attention to. Thanks, Cindy.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Ray.
I'll talk to you, honey. All right. Okay. When we come back, I will be there shortly with you. The number is, because if I start anything now, I'm going to run out of time here in about a minute. The number is 877-573-7825, 877-57-equal. That's the number to call. Get on to the program. You will hear Eric Dumont, who is there call screaming in Ann Arbor. Ave Maria Radio Communications and EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network partner in helping bring this program to you. And I am exceptionally grateful for all of that. It is a dream beyond anything I could have imagined in my younger days of a shrink. When I was a shrinkling, spending time seeing people and doing consulting work to various agencies, and I thought that was my life. That was what I was going to do. But I've been very, very fortunate to be able to be with you, especially through the EWTN Catholic Radio media presentations. So wonderful. The TV show Living Right with Dr. Ray is now in Season 9, all new episodes, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays, 9:30 Eastern Time on Tuesdays, and 5 a.m. Eastern Time. By the way, Tuesdays, 9:30 a.m. That's morning. And then 5 a.m. Eastern Time on Fridays. Having a lot of fun with those shows. A lot of fun. 877-573-7825.
Now. now, Catechism Wisdom with me, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and Father Larry Richards.
A culture that's materially comfortable gets spoiled. It says, I want my needs met. If I'm married, or even if I'm not, one of my needs, in my mind, might be, I want a child, and I want it now. For Catechism Wisdom, joining me, Father Larry Richards.
Yes.
Catechism says something here that's going to ruffle a
know.
Lot of folks.
Read me. Let me have it.
All right. Section 2378. A child is not something owed to one, but is a gift. The supreme gift of marriage is a human person. Wait a minute. We got the technology. Like, you know, the old bionic man. We've got the means. We can make it right.
Absolutely.
I want a kid. You know, my 10 children are all adopted. So the supreme gift of marriage, biologically, for me, was not a child. Okay. Am I getting ripped off? And is that fair?
The reality of all things is that we're all called to be life-giving, huh? But often God does not call that, like for me, he doesn't call me to be life-giving by having my own children, you know? God's called me, but he still does it. And the same with a couple who can't have children. They can do everything that the church allows them to do, as long as they're doing it to saying, okay, I want God's will in my life. I'm not going to make God do something for me. I'm going to seek God's will. And if I work according to nature and I work according to the teaching of the church, if God decides to give me a child, absolutely, God bless. But if he doesn't, that doesn't mean I can't be fruitful. It can be like you have a go and adopt 10 children. Think about how many children in the world today have no one to care for them or love them. And so if you really, really, really want to be a mother or father, then do as you did.
Learn something about myself. There is no limit to the amount of work I can do, provided that it isn't the work I'm supposed to be doing at the moment. Oh, I get a lot of stuff done that is against what I'm supposed to be doing at the time. This is Dr. Ray. Thank you so much for joining me here on to the doctors. And some good calls up there, so please don't leave. I want to get to you. This is an interesting little twist on this. I think it was prompted by my speculatory rant on taking care of one's body. Jeremy is calling from Wendell, Colorado. Jeremy, just a rather unrelated question. I heard that your governor recently mandated that masks have to be worn at all times out in public, inside, outside. Is that true?
Yes, that's also what I heard. Although not everyone's doing it.
Outside also?
Well, I don't know about the outside. I don't see it outside. I just see it more for the inside.
Okay. Fascinating. Okay. Was that something they were doing before, and now you notice more people doing it, or have you noticed no change?
A little more change on the inside businesses, but otherwise nothing outside, no.
Okay. And what prompted this new mandate?
I don't know. I don't pay enough attention to it that it's kind of like, did I hear that or people just talking about it? I'm not even sure. So
I heard it. I have friends I know who are going to go down to vacation down North Carolina, and they had just heard that. Your question here, I'm not quite exactly sure how to frame it. You frame it for me, Jeremy.
I have a little bit of difficulty, but basically, is it an acceptable stipulation for marriage to require someone to be below a certain weight? Like, say that no one should be over 200 pounds, basically. So if someone is it acceptable to stipulate for marriage that they should weigh less than that?
You're talking about a personal stipulation or some statewide stipulation?
No, like personal. For like, okay, if I'm going to marry you or you're going to marry me, either way around, it should be a couple, between a couple.
Well, it is personally acceptable, of course, because anybody can say, this is why I might not get married. Okay? Now, is it a reasonable one? If someone is a wonderful human being and beautifully faithful, and you're thinking, okay, I'm a little nervous about their health here, you still have the option to say, I'm nervous about it. Or I've had people say, well, I'm not physically attracted to that person because of that. And for them, that's enough of a reason. Now, if we say, is it a morally justifiable reason? No. No, it's not. But it falls in the realm of personal preference that you can do. If you poll 100 people and 82 of them say, well, I don't agree with that. I don't agree. That's no reason whatsoever. I mean, when are you going to stop it? 220? 180? When do you make that decision? When's the cutoff? Yeah, okay, but it still falls into your own personal choice. Now, one might say, yeah, that's kind of narrow-minded, isn't it? Or one might say, what are you? Who do you think you are? Or one might say, that's no reason to decide not to marry somebody. All of those things are legit. But if you're asking the question, do you have the right to do that? You do. And you're not necessarily sinning because of it. You may be dumb because of it. Or you may be short-sighted because of it. Or you may be overlooking a lot of wonderful characteristics about a person because of it. But if you're just asking, this is something that for me is important, and it's important enough to be a roadblock, well, okay. There you go. Somebody thinking that about you, or you thinking that about somebody else?
It's been a consideration of mine for a few weeks now, but I'm just exploring the marriage vocation right now, and so I'm beginning to consider other possibilities. But it's kind of like you were just talking about: is if you're not taking care of your body, if you're not, are you in a healthy state?
Well, yeah, and some people go so far as to say that for them, they interpret that as a lack of self-discipline. And if there is a lack of self-discipline in that area, they question, is there a lack of self-discipline in other areas? People do that. They make those conclusions. Right or wrong, they do it. Okay. If it were reversed, if somebody says, you know, Jeremy, I'm really nervous the fact that you're 130 pounds overweight. I'm scared. I'm scared about your health. But you really care about this person and you want to have a relationship with them, then it would behoove you to say, okay, you know, this personal benefit that this person wants of me, I'm willing to do. Now, on the other hand, you could just as rightfully say, what? Well, okay. And if that's what you're thinking, then that tells me a lot about you, and I don't really want to marry you if you're going to put those kind of conditions on me. And do that, too. All comes down to it, you know?
Right.
Well, good luck, my friend. All righty?
All right.
All right. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Let's see where we're at. Robert from Astoria, Oregon. I imagine that's a BVM. Blessed Virgin Mary Network up there in Oregon, out of Portland. Is that right, Robert? That's how you're listening?
No, I'm on the app, brother.
Okay.
Are you talking to me? Are you
yes,
talking
sir.
About Robert Mann? Oh, okay.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
You really stimulated me to go back with one of my sons that I'm. We're continuing to talk about God, and he's getting closer to God, and he was saying God bless and everything this morning, and. So then, well, you got me in the middle of picking the roses. But you know what I wanted to say to you? I had to pray to Mother Angelica. You talk so much, I can't remember what I was supposed to say.
Andrew, flag that one. You got to flag that one.
And you know, she would say, don't call me good, but she's on the other side now, so we won't call each other good.
Well, you were going to say how you prayed over your children.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. Okay, well, one of my sons, I have 15 children. One of them got married. It was about 12 years ago.
Whoa.
And he's, you know, kind of in the middle, kind of a middle child. But anyway, he had a huge up on Lake Tahoe, huge, beautiful marriage and everything, you know, and they went to the ceremony, but it wasn't a Christian ceremony or anything. So when the fathers got up, it was time for me to get up, and I just said, God, please bless these children, these young people, in their marriage. So now it's 15 years later, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, I heard you. So then that testified to me, and then I had just gotten out of Mass. I'm coming down the hill, down to the Columbia River, and by golly, there you're on, and you're talking about that. So I was already in the text.
Stay right there, Robert. I got some questions I want to ask you about 15 kids. But you talk so much, I forgot what I was going to say. Stay right there. Don't go away. This is Dr. Ray. Don't go away. This is Dr. Ray. What do you say? Hey.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Call to communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world, because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders, this afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Therese of Lisieux, they all called God friend, and you can too. In Carmelite Spirituality, The Way of Carmelite Prayer and Contemplation, Anders Cardinal Arborelia shows you how you can awaken to the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit within you. Carmelite Spirituality, the latest release from EWTN Publishing, now available at EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
I'm fascinated by the human brain. It starts to work as soon as you're born. It really does. And then it doesn't stop until you get up and have to make a speech. Ever notice that? All right. I got to talk to Robert, and I'm fascinated. Robert, are you still there?
Yeah, the next time you make a speech, why don't you smell it? Because what you taught me the other day is it goes straight to the brain and then you won't forget it.
Well, I'm glad you're out there smelling the roses. That's what it sounds like you said you were doing.
I was cutting. What are you talking about? I just cut some roses to put on me to walk around. And I was doing that when you called me back. I was shocked when you called me back.
Well, I didn't call you. Wow. You called me.
Oh, okay, that's right. You're right. Well, I've got a bad memory. I'm getting up in years.
I think those 15 kids took their toll on you.
Well, they got me busy. I'll tell you, I got them in Central America, too. They're the people that need the most help.
Are you saying you adopted some of those children, Robert?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty much like St. Joseph is my saint. So I'm mostly a stepdad.
How many
I've
of those?
Several marriages, and the women passed away, and there are no men involved there. So I've got three of my own.
You have had
three widows.
I was going to say you have had three wives pass away.
My two passed away. All of them were widows when I married them. One of them, it didn't work out, but I got one natural son. So I've got 10 from, 12 from widows, and they're stepkids. I've got three of my own. But they're all my own, man. If you know what I'm talking about, they got to go to college. Woo! Watch out.
What is
stack the money, buddy.
What is the age range of these 15 kids?
I've got one at home now. He's 17. He's the youngest. And they go up to 60.
How old are you, sir, if I can ask?
I'm in my 70s.
Okay.
One of my wives had her first child when she was 13. Well, that's what puts it that way.
I got a feeling your life history would be a fascinating story to tell. No wonder you're stopping and smelling the roses.
Oh, yeah. You better believe it. Well, I think like we're reliving the 60s now with all the... Boy, we've got everything again. You know that?
Yes.
Historically.
Yes,
but
it is.
Where were we at? You keep changing the trend of thought here. What was the... Oh, yeah. Okay, so my... one son of mine, he's a self-made millionaire.
I hope he likes you.
He loves me, and he's loving the Lord more every day. He's got a good heart. And I've been talking to him about that we're really bankrupt, you know. We got millions of dollars, but we're bankrupt because, you know, we're poor in spirit, so we need to pray and realize we need God, you know. We need him. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit for when they find that they need God. They need
him.
One
good thing, Robert, I'm going to let you go here, but one good thing that these kids have over and above everything else is they've got a dad who is willing to pray for them, and you've come into their lives in various directions, and you're praying for these kids, and you're giving them an infinite gift. Robert, thanks for the call, buddy. Very much. Thank you. You know, it's interesting because I have 10 children, and I could just hear Robert saying, well, 10, that's a nice start. That's a good start. Get you on your way. All righty. Bonnie's outraged. Bonnie is just outraged. Understandably so, but let's deal with her upset. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Dr. Rayan, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
After Robert, I'm speechless.
And I am too. It's like, what the heck?
Oh, I know it. But my comment was, I was so outraged yesterday when I heard Superior Court Justice John Roberts vote liberal on the Louisiana abortion issues. I could have gone right through the TV screen. Just outraged that this Catholic has no backbone left.
Well, I'm not going to comment too much. Because, you know, it's a political question. This is not predominantly a political show, only where they intertwine with our mental health.
Right,
Yeah, and I understand that, and I'm going to give you the same advice I give myself. The news is coming at us from so many directions, and it seems overwhelmingly negative, and it seems overwhelmingly like an assault on the very decent principles that we believe as Catholics and Christians. Just endless. The media is wildly secular. And I'm not even going to say they're progressive. I think they're regressive. They're secular regressive. And I've decided that I'm probably going to cut back on my absorbing of the news. Not because I don't want to be informed. I have to be informed for the show. But this relentless diet is so negative, it's so ugly, it is so unfair. Some of it is just flamingly wrong. Doctor, how could you say that? I can say it because they oftentimes deal with areas that I am extremely familiar with in my own profession, and I can't believe how wrong they get it and how they twist it. So I know what you're saying, dear, and do this. This is what I've decided to do for myself. I'm going to focus on the joys of my life, the things that give me pleasure, my family, the beautiful weather, my health, whatever it is that God has given me. No, I didn't mention Eric Dumont. No, he's not in that list. But you can throw him in there as an afterthought. Whatever God has given me, I got to focus harder on that rather than looking around me at this massive conflagration,
literally,
that is going on in our culture and saying the world I love, the world I grew up in, the world I know is gone to heck in a handbasket. That'll destroy me. It'll rob me of my joy. I will not be naturally content and peaceful as the Lord wants me to be. So if Jesus says, be at peace, then there's no asterisk there. He's not saying, be at peace unless you look around you and you see how awful things are getting. I'm going to be at peace. I'm going to make myself be at peace. And I'll do what I can, however I can, to make things better. But I'm not going to... I know what that decision was, and I'm shocked, too, at some of the things going on. However, and by the way, interestingly enough, Sotomayor is also Catholic. All right? And
right.
She's quite far left. But she's Catholic. Mm-hmm. Now, Thomas is Catholic, and Alito's Catholic, and Kavanaugh's Catholic. So, the Supreme Court's heavily Catholic, if you want to call it by denomination name, if you will. But you're right. Who knows in our culture, my dear? One thing is clear to me, that religion is relentlessly being assaulted now in our culture, and perhaps it always has been, even Catholics have been, but it's gaining speed. And maybe we'll be asked to be more faithful because we'll have no choice. We can't keep one foot in the secular world and one foot in our faith because we'll just get pulled muscles. Bless you, Bonnie. Thank you for the call, dear. This is Dr. A. Eric, you're next. I'll be right back.
What are you, some kind of neurotic idiot?
The doctor is in. Now, don't you feel better?
When we speak in the Catholic Church about the communion of the sacraments, what do we mean? According to the Catholic Catechism, the fruit of all the sacraments belongs to all the faithful. The sacraments are the sacred links uniting the faithful to one another and binding them to Jesus Christ, and above all, baptism, the gate by which we enter into the Church. The name communion can be applied to all the sacraments, for they unite us to God, but most especially to the Eucharist, as it is primarily the Eucharist that brings this communion about. In the communion of charisms, the Holy Spirit distributes special and diverse graces among the faithful of every rank in order to build up the Church. The phrase, they had everything in common, means that everything a true Christian has is to be regarded as a good possessed in common with everyone else. Thus, a Christian should be eager to share whenever, wherever, with whomever has a need. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The EWTN home video highlight for June is Living the Scriptures with Mother Angelica. These vintage Mother Angelica episodes will profit your soul and cheer your spirit. Each episode demonstrates Mother's insights, wisdom, and humor, which beautifully penetrate her reflections on the Old and New Testaments. Order your DVD set at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
This is Dr. Stan Williams. Why do Christians believe what they do? Not what, but why? What are the facts, evidences, and reasons for the Christian faith? Nineveh's Crossing has just released a new book titled Basic Christianity, Facts, Evidences, Reasons. It's a religious education course for teens through adults in Christian history, archaeology, and logic. Basic Christianity, available now at AveMariaRadio.net in the bookstore. Look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Here. Thanks for joining me in this last segment of The Doctor is In. Good to have you with me. Eric, calling from San Diego, California, the home of Catholic Answers. What say, Eric?
Right. Hey there.
Howdy.
It's probably white noise on your show, but I'm not able to listen as often as I'd like. But I've been questioning myself.
Well, don't blame me if you're stumbling through life then.
That's it.
Yeah.
Let's see. I've got two little ones. I've got a 10-year-old girl and a little 6-year-old boy. And we are lucky enough in this world to homeschool. But with that, there's always the, we want our kids to be well-rounded, and we want them to experience some hardship. We don't want it to be an easy life, but they're only 10 and 6, so how much can we coddle them? We've made a recent decision not to enroll in some extracurricular activities come the fall here. And that's like their only social, that's like their only friend base. So now they're just, it's just them and me and me and my wife. So
ooh, they got to hang around with dad and mom. Oh, yuck.
Well, that's it. This is why I'm questioning it, because that's the stereotypical norm. But my kids love it. We're all best friends. I mean, and they have discipline. They know how to act. But we just chum, the four of us.
Why are you second-guessing yourself?
I don't know. When I was a kid and when my wife was a kid, we had worldly experience, and it made us who we are.
Yeah, but at this point with a 10 and a 6-year-old, the worldly experience is quite a bit different than the worldly experience of even a generation ago.
Absolutely.
So in your desire to protect your kids, I think that's admirable and wonderful, and especially the 6-year-old. Now, if you say, oh, I want them to have some friends, I want them to be able to play with kids. All right, keep an eye around you. Maybe somebody at church that you know and you truly trust, or another homeschooling set of parents, or someone that just is an admirable kind of family that you can say, yeah, you know, let's do some things together with their kids and our kids at our place or their place. You can do all that. But I think the bigger question for you, Eric, sounds like you're really wondering, am I hurting my kids? Am I shortchanging them? Well, at this point, I personally wouldn't worry about it, especially with a 6-year-old, especially if they so much love being with mom and dad. You must be cool. And I think it's partly because you've even though you've missed a lot of this program, you've caught enough of it to be cool. Okay.
I think.
Can you imagine, though, had you listened regularly, how much your kids would adore you? Can you just imagine it? You wouldn't have to wonder.
Confidence. It would give me confidence in my coolness.
Yes, that's exactly right. One of the things I said to my wife when the kids were young and growing up, we didn't get them into too many extracurriculars simply because we had too many kids. Couldn't do it. Okay, it would have just totally taken over our family life. And they had brothers and sisters. So that was their main source of socialization when they were little. Now, you got a brother and a sister, or two sisters or two brothers, whatever you got there. And so there is a certain amount of interaction with a brother and a sister. That's okay. That's cool. I think a little bit our culture overplays it and says they have to have a social peer experience or otherwise they're going to be stunted. There's no research evidence for that, by the way. And it may be something you want. Good thing. Check it out. Look around. There are group gatherings. There are a lot of homeschool co-ops and things like that. You just got to find them. And as long as you're there as a parent, it's a pretty safe environment. That's what I would do anyway. The other thing you can do, Eric, and this is important. Every day at this time, you sit them down and let them just listen to this program. I think that would probably ratchet up their maturity and their IQ beyond socialization, you know?
Okay, fair enough.
You know, now you could get in trouble with the kids. They might start putting their fingers in their ears and singing a song. I can't hear him. I don't know what he's saying. That could happen. I've had it happen with a lot of my adult audience members. But thank you, my friend. Nice call.
I appreciate it. Thank you, buddy.
By the way, I just want to clarify something. Did you hear what Andrew cherry-picked out of, what are you, some kind of neurotic idiot? Now, you could easily think I'm saying that to a caller. No way would I say that to a caller. I was saying it in reference to me. If I were to do a certain thing, I could say, somebody would look at me and say, what are you, some kind of neurotic idiot? But you see what happens when you take it out of context? It really makes it look like I'm yelling at somebody. I would not do that. But Andrew knows what he's doing. And he's what he's doing is showing me the power he has. He can make or break me. It's that simple. Simply by cherry picking those things. I can say that about myself. I'm allowed. Thank you, everybody, for the company and for listening. I appreciate it so very much. Andrew Krucek, producer man and cherry picker. Eric Dumont, call screamer. And all of you for your company. Doctor is in. Great to be with you, as always. Walk with God. Got two kids holding by the hands. You got three. Maybe they got to hold each other's hands. I don't know how you're going to do that, but you do it.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.